we're filling in the states. And we will cover America with intercessory prayer. Now, how we pray is every quarter we revamp the list because we don't want to be just stuck in a rut. We want to make sure that what we're currently praying is what God has downloaded to our hearts to pray about. So we try and stay relevant and you know, attentive to the Lord. But Pastor Andrew is our national representative of pastoring this movement. The man is a pastor's pastor. And, boy, Spirit of God's coming on me real strong. Hallelujah. Yeah, and I, whoo, my God, yes. Whatever you want to do, Holy Ghost. Glory, glory. Hallelujah. And I think the Lord just wants me to remind you, sir, of who you are. You know, and he's a treasure to this church. He's a treasure to this community. There are things in him that are not tapped yet. I want to encourage you to value maybe something that you might get used to. You know, sometimes when you're around something every day or every week, there becomes a familiarity, you know. And it's not that you lose the appreciation. It's just maybe the luster is just not shining as bright as it once did. You know what I mean? But every time I get around this couple, the luster shines bright in my heart. You know, so he puts his hand when we come together and do these summits. And I want to applaud your willingness to come on Monday nights and pray corporately, because that's part of what I want to do. I really have a passion to stir a good, strong prayer movement in the local church. And that's what we do when we do these summits. We might come together collectively, but whatever church is hosting the event, we want other churches involved so that they can go back and get a strong intercessory prayer movement started in their church if they don't already have one. So he's pastoring the movement and from Port St. Joe. And I'm thankful to have him as a friend. June 9th through the 12th. And it's going to be in Cumming, Georgia. If you can make that, I will tell you, it's going to be an incredible event. Right now, we already have four churches coming together. Each church is going to do a night of praise and worship. And one of those churches, I sit on the advisory board of a national motorcycle movement called Heaven Saints. And so Pastor Duncan Lee, he's got a beard down to his belt buckle and hair down to his belt. And his praise and worship team sounds like ZZ Top. But my kind of people. Amen. Got a little ZZ Top growing right here. Anyways, amen. So it's going to be held at Freedom Tabernacle. Do you know it?
Yeah.
Oh, awesome. Oh, okay. Well, praise the Lord. Yeah, so if you can make it, you know. And I'll get information too, because Pastor Andrew is one of our team leaders. I'll get information to them. I think I already sent out a text to everybody. But as hotel information, where you can capitalize right now, I think the rate is $88 a night. So I'm going to try and lock that in as quick as I can, okay? Holiday Inn Express in Cumming, Georgia is where everybody's staying. And if you want a book underneath Tim Hines Ministries. I'm a IHG member, so I'll get the props for that. Yeah, amen. Because sometimes you get stuck in between meetings somewhere in the middle of nowhere, and you got to lay up for a couple of days, you know. So you might as well have a little credit on the books. Amen. So amen. So okay, you know, let's get started this morning in John chapter 9. We're going to look at the very last verse of that chapter. I want to speak for a few minutes this morning on something I'd like to entitle The Voice of the Lord. The Voice of the Lord. Numerically, the Hebraic number for 2021 means to hear God's voice. And I don't think that that's coincidental in any way. I believe it's a prophetic moment. We are in a sovereign prophetic moment as a church. Pastor's right, 2020... Yes, it was a year to see, but a lot of times when I can only tell you how I feel. Sometimes when I launch with something and I think it's going to play out this way, a lot of times it plays out that way, you know, and I have to always remember to do one thing, trust the Lord. Amen. When things don't turn out the way I think that they should turn out, they're turning out exactly the way God wants them turned out. And by trusting God, it activates the character that I needed to operate successfully in the moment. See, a lot of people want people to cater to their familiarity. And their familiarity is where they made a choice to stop growing. Well, that can only play out so long, because you can only entertain somebody's soul so long. You know what I'm saying? And if they're not willing to want to get around somebody that wants to lead them into a greater maturity, what will happen eventually is they'll end up threatening you, I'm going to leave the church, or I'm going to do this, or I'm going to do that. And they were already gone a long time ago. So we need strong leadership right now. I really believe that God wants us to be able to hear what we need to hear. And I know my sister, she was saying, I'm really excited about, you know, hearing what you got to say about, you know, the political moment and all this stuff, you know. And I'm up to here with it. If you guys know me, I've never really been vocal about government and all this other stuff. I've only tried to do my best to help people be where God is. Not where God was, but where God is. Worst place to be is where God was. Anybody know what I'm saying? So I want to talk about what God wants us to hear. Because I will tell you, that in a year of hearing the voice of the Lord, there is a lot of distractions. There's a lot of underground current. And I will tell you, we'll probably never, ever really find out the full truth about matters. So our eyes have to be on our author and finisher.
Yes.
Okay? And really, to hear God right now is key. Because like I said, not all distractions are going to come from the demonic. They're going to come from the church. And there's always going to be that soulish ambition that's going to oppose a spiritual quest. The Lord told me in October, the day of dichotomy is here. And not only is that showing up in our society, but it's going to show up in the church this year. The Lord began to deal with me during the pandemic and the quarantine in the spring of last year. And he said, two camps will arise out of this. One camp will have my plan, and the other camp will go back to where I was. See, the wrong thing to do is to go back to more lighting, fog machines that imitate the Holy Spirit, and skinny jeans. You know what I mean? Because, man, it don't work on this body right here. I'm just saying. Okay. I want to go on to where God is. So I have to be open to hear what God is saying. A good friend of mine is with me. His name is Kim Owens, and we were talking this morning about growing in God. And we have to understand that there is a character that is already in us, waiting on the right moment to awaken us to be able to handle the responsibilities of the moment. Because God is always on the other side of things. And he always knows what's next. And I'll guarantee you, to hear him right now is an awakening moment. It really is. So I'm glad that he's not done with me, that I'm not a finished product, and I can continue to grow in the Lord. Amen?
Amen.
Let me quote to you. We're gonna read a verse here in just a minute, but let me quote 1 Peter chapter 1, verse 6. It says, in this you greatly rejoice, though now for a little while, if need be. Everybody shout, if need be. You have been grieved by various trials. Let me tell you something. This is an if need be moment. Okay? Socialism probably is going to be the greatest thing that's ever happened to the church. All right? Because the church, and let me just say this to you. If you think that the plan that God has for America is over, you need to reread the 12th chapter of the book of Revelation. A lion with eagle's wings will carry a woman into the wilderness and protect her for 3.5 years. Our success as a church is based upon two things. Making sure that we are doing the work of the ministry and we keep in proper alliance with Israel. Okay? Nothing has been able to squash the church. In fact, they will come after the church in the soon days to come. But here's the thing, an attack on the church is an attack on God.
Yes.
And if they think that they can take on the Lord, they're just grossly misunderstood. They're just grossly undertaking this whole thing. This has been my whole thing is this. What is it going to take to get the church to mobilize? I don't want to get ahead of myself, but there are some, we're just not doing what we need to be doing. Somebody help me. Okay? And I think that part of our responsibility in accepting what is going on is our lack of influence in our communities. Okay? Now, granted, I know the evangelical vote came out stronger than any other campaign in history, but the bottom line is we are the only people that can change the nature of somebody. Through a born-again experience.
Yes.
Okay? The old nature dies, the new nature comes alive. Okay? So we have the ability to curve things. Now, granted, I understand that prophecy is conditional and unconditional, regardless of what, you know, the prophets have said. And this is another thing that troubles me right now. See, I'll go right into this political stuff, all right? You know, I want to just get away from it. But what bothers me is that the body of Christ is turning on each other right now. Anybody that prophesied that he was going to serve another term, let me just say something to you. Our Messiah does not fly on Air Force One. Okay? I mean, am I thankful for what he accomplished? Well, of course. Would I prefer him to be in the Oval Office? Of course. Opposed to what we have to live with. I mean, of course. I mean, that's common sense, okay? But the thing is everybody's saying, well, we're going to pull out all the prophecies and the prophecies that didn't happen from whoever they operated through. Well, we're going to mark these people, and we're not going to have anything to do with them going forward. Huge mistake. Huge mistake. Because there's more components in a word having the right to come to pass than just somebody prophesying. There's conditional prophecy, unconditional prophecy. So let's just keep our eyes on God. Let's be mature and let's keep our eyes on the Lord, okay? We're all going to be susceptible to human moments. John chapter 9, verse 41. Jesus said to them, if you were blind, you would have no sin. The Lord cracks me up. I'm not going to lie, okay? But now you say, we see, therefore your sin remains. Now what's going on here? Well, I love what's going on here. I mean, the first part of the chapter, Jesus comes across a man that is born blind. And the question comes up, well, Lord, whose sin caused this to take place? And Jesus said, nobody. Not his grandfather, not his mother, not his father, nobody. But this was set in place to bring to pass the works of God, to glorify God himself. Okay? Now, what has happened is Jesus has spit on the ground. He put one of the strongest parts of his DNA on this man's eyes with mud. He's washed into the pool of Siloam. He's received a miracle. The man is seen. I mean, the transformation was so strong that even his neighbors didn't even recognize him. His parents are now drugged before the Pharisees, and the question was, how did this happen, and whom did it happen through, and or by the hand of, and really what it boiled down to is it happened on the Sabbath. Okay? Now that was the big, tilting point right there. And even though the fruit of the Messiah is standing right in front of them and they can see it, they are still making a choice to reject it because it happened beyond their limitations. Okay? And Christian people can fall right into that same mode. God can be saying, I want you to hear this, I want you to see this, and this is what I want you to accomplish. But because it's beyond our acceptance, understand that you get exposed to learning curves for a reason. They feel intimidating, but those learning curves only come because God knows that you have the potential to rise up. I would be concerned if I didn't have a learning curve. Okay? So I understand, like you said, Christianity is not comfort. Okay? It is a constant opportunity to grow. And we should not be afraid of maturing. Okay? Now, this is interesting to me. These same Pharisees that are seeing the fruit of the Messiah, prophecy in the Old Testament, one of the things that Jesus would do to point out that he was God incarnate, John chapter 1, the Word made flesh, dwelt among men, and men beheld its glory. They're seeing it right there in evidence. Living color was the blind seeing, the lame walking, lepers being cleansed, the deaf ears coming open, the mute speaking. Okay? This is what Jesus said to John the Baptist. Go back and tell John all these things happen, you know, and blessed is he who is not offended because of me. Or John, I'm not coming after you. You put yourself in that position. You got yourself in that position. Don't ask me to come and get you out of it. Actually, John lost his life. Hello? Or lost his head because he lost his head. I preached that sermon here once. Okay? He should have never been in the predicament that he was in. He was a prophet that got outside of his call. His call was to prepare the coming of the Lord, not to go after Herod's affairs. Okay? You got to stay in your lane. Okay? Stay in your lane, bro. Okay? So here's the evidence of the Messiah, and because it happened on the Sabbath, they're rejecting it. Okay? Listen to me. When God begins to manifest and operate beyond our comfort zones, please do one thing. Make sure it's scriptural. If it's scriptural, there'll be peace in your heart. Okay? Because you're going to hear a lot of things this year, a lot of misleading things this year. I want to help you keep your fingers on the pulse of God's heart. Is that okay? Okay, so he's saying something here, and he goes right into an interesting teaching in verse 1 of chapter 10. Most assuredly, I say to you, he who does not enter the sheepfold by the door, but climbs up some other way, the same as a thief and a robber. Now look at verse 10 of this chapter. Verse 10 says this, the thief does not come to except to steal and to kill and destroy. I've come that you might have life and have it more abundantly. Anybody ever heard a preacher blame the devil with this verse? He's not talking about the demonic. He's talking about a religious system. We got to understand this. John 9, there's no demonic activity. John 10, there's no demonic activity. It's all about a religious system that is trying to keep people stuck somewhere. This is not the kingdom. The kingdom, Isaiah 9 says, the kingdom is advancing. We belong to a kingdom that has no end, and the kingdom that has no end has peace to it in every step towards it. Okay, this is why I like preaching revelatory. We must, our truth as Christians have got to be rooted and grounded in revelatory exposure. This is the beauty of Christianity. We are not religious. We're not routine. I mean, I couldn't go to a church where you could predict the activity of a service by reading the bulletin. I couldn't do it. I got to be in an atmosphere where it's spontaneous. It's illuminating. It's exciting. It's intriguing. It's inviting. This is Christianity. This is revelation. This is what keeps my passion, ignited the way it's ignited. It's because I feel like I could never get an end. I could never get enough. I mean, I'm not that I'm pursuing it out of insecurity, but I'm pursuing it because I want to know Him. You know what I'm saying? And I like what David said. I could spend my whole life trying to know Him and not even really get there. You know what I'm saying? I'm beginning to understand that. There's so much vastness in God, but this is the beauty of the pursuit, is the fulfillment of it. We were talking about the reason we want to grow, okay? We're not wanting to grow out of, feeling insecure or inferior, having inferiorities or anything like that that push us to get into works, to satisfy something, an unresolved issue. No, we want to grow because we want to know Him.
Yes.
You know what I'm saying? It has nothing to do with works. It has everything to do with settling sonship. Because to truth be known, God's not going to change. Right? Malachi 3 says He doesn't change, so I'm not consumed. I thank God that He doesn't change. Hebrews chapter 13 says that He's the same yesterday, today, and forever. It doesn't change. Revelation chapter 1 says that He was, He is, and He is to come. He didn't change. So you know what that means? It means that it doesn't matter how much I pray. It doesn't matter how much I study. It doesn't matter how much I do. Nothing like that is going to change God. I do these things because they change me. God has invited me into His principles. Jeremiah chapter 33, verse 20. He made a covenant with night, made a covenant with day. That sun's going to rise in the east and set in the west. It's not going to change. And when I enter, oh, this is the beauty of the security of Christianity. When we come into His principles, because they are secure, they are set in stone, they cannot fail. We come into these things to live a blessed life in a cursed world.
That's right. That's good.
So serving the Lord's exciting to me. If I can escape the, and judgment's coming, okay? And a lot of people, you might say, well, in the New Testament, you mean judgment's coming? Absolutely. You know how it's going to come? It's going to come by the people's will. Okay? The fruit of the people's will. That's how judgment's going to come. And thank God for unchanging ways. This is why the church has got to understand that we are constantly countercultural. We do not do it the way the U.S. government does it. We do it the way the kingdom does it. Amen. We don't govern business after the patterns of the world. We govern business out of the honoring factor of how God calls us to honor Him in business, represent Him in business. Our homes should not be structured like the world. We dedicate our families and our homes according to God's Word. We are countercultural all the time. That's just the existence of the church. So we need to hear some things that I think that's very important. And please, when you get around anybody that wants to landlock you because they're afraid of your maturity, what's happened is they want you to either support their familiarity, or a leader that doesn't have enough backbone to lead will support other people's familiarity. Okay? And that should never be. Let's just stay strong. And I can't encourage you to pray enough. Okay? If you can come on Mondays, I think it would be huge. I think it would be a huge benefit. Yes. If you can come to these summits, I think it's going to be a huge... I don't mean this in any other way, but I got a saxophone player coming, okay, to do special music. He is the blackest white guy I know. He is cool to the bone, okay? And his brother plays drums for Sheryl Crow. And what I'm saying is there's going to be some high-level, top-shelf quality there. Your pastor's going to be there. Amen. Okay. So, listen... Religion and poverty are twin sisters. If a religious spirit can blind you from the evidence of the fruit of the Messiah that's right in front of you, then it will keep you as spiritually broke as it possibly can. This is not Christianity. Christianity is exposure. It's advancement. It's enlightenment. Oh, amen. Okay, so Jesus said this in verse 2 of chapter 10, but he who enters the door is the shepherd of the sheep. To him the doorkeeper opens and the sheep, everybody shout it, hear his voice. Now I'm not trying to propagate weirdness, okay? One guy said to me, he said, the people around me are always saying, God said, God said, God said. And he told one person, he just got tired of it. He just told this one person, hey, look, God doesn't talk to me as much as he talks to you, apparently. But he doesn't lie to me as much as he lies to you. So I'm not trying to propagate weirdness, okay? I want to share some secure facts. We have the ability to hear the Lord. We do. And I think that we hear him much clearer than we realize. Okay? And I think that it's going to be very, very important to dial that frequency in clearer and clearer as we face the days to come. Okay? Like I said, there's going to be a lot of misleading voices out there. All right? So Jesus went on to say, he said, my sheep hear my voice, and he calls his own sheep by name and leads them out. And when he brings out his own sheep, he goes before them, and the sheep follow him, and they know his voice. So God knows, he doesn't want us just to be able to hear him. He wants us to be able to hear him because we know him. Now, let me illustrate a fact real quick. Can everybody close your eyes real quick? Nobody peeking. I know there's going to be somebody who's going to want to peek, you know. Okay? I'm going to tap somebody on the shoulder, and when I do this, I want them to shout hallelujah as loud as they can.
Hallelujah!
Now, whose voice was that? You can open your... Thank you for your participation. You can open your eyes now. Whose voice was that? How do you know that? You know his voice. You know his voice. The Holy Ghost is just that simple. You hear him because you know him. And because you know him, you hear him clearly. And the voice of a stranger you will not follow. So vitally important that we, oh, come on, I feel him. I feel like we really need to dial this in. Because like I said, people are going to want you to chase this, and they're going to want you to chase that. They're going to want you to listen to this and listen to that. You know what? Just get along with the Lord. Amen. Just get along with God and develop an ear to hear him. And I will tell you this. What will happen is anytime anybody shows up with a contrary nature, you know what will happen? You'll instantly discern them. You see, when the fruit of the Spirit is your censer, discernment's at its best. And when anybody shows up outside of the fruit of the Spirit, like love and joy and peace, gentleness, meekness, temperance, goodness, and faith, you instantly discern them. And one of two things are going to happen. Either you're going to recognize them, number one, that this is a nature that is outside of God's nature, and I'm paying attention to it now. And then I pray that because we hear his voice and we know how he operates, we would take an elevated approach to restore, like Jesus would. Okay? So I think that we're at a pretty prime time. I think this is going to be a great year. I really do. Yes. Amen. I'm on a personal campaign to lead as many people to Jesus as I can. I am. Glory to God. So, let me encourage you to develop an ear to hear the Lord. It requires some solitary communion. You know, you can't just pray in tongues and eat a biscuit from McDonald's and drink orange juice to work and call that prayer. Okay? If you're one of those people, I pray that people around you are praying that you don't hit them. Okay? So if we don't have solitary communion where we can hear the Lord, what happens is we're now left up to hearing God in a song or hearing God in a book or hearing God in a poem or from revelatory information in a sermon. And there's nothing wrong with those resources. But I'm telling you, friends, when you hear God in your prayer closet, what happens is nothing can shake you now. Nothing can shake you now. Oh, amen. Okay? So you get storm-proofed to the tactics of the enemy. You know what that means? It means that you learn to keep what you break through. And then you make a choice never to lose ground, but to go on and stay free of what you broke through. Okay? So the gospel is not about personalities or popularities or even programs, right? It's about the truth. And there's a lot of people that don't like to be around the truth, okay? Because it's normally going to corner you. It's normally not going to let you out of what your conscience is telling you is the truth. You're going to be momentarily paralyzed that you have been found out. Whether anybody around you knows it or not, you'll know it. Right? Aren't you glad you came today? So how important is God's voice? This is what the prophet Jeremiah said in chapter 15, verse 18. Why is my pain perpetual and my wound incurable, which refuses to be healed? Would anybody like to know why? I'll tell you why. It comes from unwillingness to receive truth that settles us from where we are in error. And prophets constantly feel this. You want God's word to happen in people's lives. You want confirmation. You want signs and wonders. But because people do not want to move away from things that are hurting their walk with Him, it feels like my pain is always perpetual. It feels like the things that my wounds are always incurable. And the prophet went on to say this. He said, will you, now talking about God, will you surely be to me like an unreliable stream and waters that do not fail? It's almost like he began to question himself. The people are making a choice not to move away. But you got to remember, Jeremiah is weeping over a backslidden nation. And people are not moving, willing to move away from their sins that were hurting their walk with God. And he's now asking God, that's not where my heart is. In fact, my heart has landed me. It's somewhere around it escapes me right now. But you got to remember that Jeremiah's prophesying landed him in a dungeon, and they lowered him down with ropes into waist-deep sewage. And they were going to leave him there, starve him to death. Okay? And I'm going to get to a passage here in just a minute where the prophet said, hey, look, if this is where it's going to land me, I don't want to prophesy anymore in your name. But nevertheless, your word feels like fire shot up in my bones, and I can't suppress it any longer. So, you know, everybody thinks, well, you know, they want a title like prophet. Well, good luck with that, okay? I'm just saying, all right? Because when you are our true prophetic office, you don't have choices. You have one choice, and that's the will of God. What is God saying? What is God wanting? Okay? And many times in the process of delivering the word of the Lord, people will get offended. Okay? But listen, a missed opportunity to honor the Lord leads an offense. A missed opportunity to honor the Lord leads to an offense. Come on. I want to shift a gear here. Are we ready? I'm ready to jump on the furniture a little bit, okay? Amen? All right, so we have to be willing to receive, believe, and apply what makes us all complete. So the first thing I want to give to you this morning is this. The voice of the Lord should captivate our hearts. Totally capture us. John chapter 6, verse 63. The words that I speak to you, they are spirit and they are life. Everybody shout, one word from God. One word from God changes everything. It opens doors that cannot be opened. It shuts doors that cannot be shut. One word from God gives us the ability to look past human nature and see the plan. It's called hope. One word from God changes the low places and makes them high, rough places and makes them smooth, crooked places and makes them straight. One word from God changes our marriage, changes our children, changes our finances, changes our health, changes everything. One word from God. And we are captured in hearts by that rhema word. Amen. Jeremiah 33 and verse 20 says this, that God made a covenant with day. God made a covenant with night. Okay? The voice of the Lord not only provides complete confidence and security, it also requires complete commitment to it or obedience. Interesting fact, revelatory, Matthew chapter 7 verse 29, a Roman centurion comes across the path of Jesus. And we know this story, okay? And he says, Jesus, I recognize you. I see in you what I can't find in Caesar. But the whole key to the story is the man says, I am a man under authority. You see, when you're under authority, you understand how authority works. And when you're under authority, you can spot authority that you're getting exposed to because you understand how it works. You're now free to capitalize on the authority that you're exposed to. So when this man said, just speak the word, Jesus said, man, you got it. I haven't found such faith even in Israel. Okay? Everybody takes the word authority, and because they've been stung by some kind of control freak, and they get really timid and they get really very defensive over the whole mentioning of authority. Authority is extremely secure. It really is. All we have to do is understand it. It will never require you to be taken advantage of by anybody.
That's right.
It just won't. But it will open your life to incredible opportunities. And this is exactly what's going on in this man's life. Just speak the word, Jesus. I say to one, go, and he goes. I say to another, come, and he comes. Because I'm a man under authority. I understand how it works. I see in you, because I'm under it, I know how the system works. I see in you limitless potential. This is what happens when you understand authority. Okay? So one word from God changes everything. Well, somebody help me. I got a feeling that God wants us to hear one word from him this year. It's going to change everything. Because we understand. We understand that when we tap into the potential of God's authority, things are off the chain. Okay? Number two, the voice of the Lord should influence our direction. Revelation chapter 1, verses 10 through 15. I was in the Spirit on the Lord's day. How many realize that that helps?
Yes, it does.
I'm just saying. Okay? And I heard behind me a voice as of a trumpet. Verse 12 says, and I turned to see the voice that spoke with me. So God's voice just doesn't need to be heard. It needs to be observed and it needs to be seen. And then it needs to be turned towards. Hello? Let me just say something to you. And it's going to sound a little freaky, all right? But the world calls stuff like this deja vu. Since I've been in your community twice now, my body is caught up with my spirit. So what does that tell me? It tells me that my spirit has gotten here, been here in the Holy Ghost before my body could arrive. So now I got to pay attention. Not that I wasn't trying to pay attention before. Now I got to pay attention. My steps have been ordered by the Lord. I'm in the right place with the right people at the right time. Come on, y'all feel that? All right? All right. So we all we have to do is, I got so much I want to say. So I want to turn. Thank you so much. I want to turn towards it. I want to observe it. I want to respond to it. Amen. I want to be sensitive to it. Right? Praise God. Jeremiah 10 verses 23 and 24. O Lord, I know the way of man is not in himself. It is not in man who walks to direct his own steps. O Lord, correct me, but with justice, not in anger, lest you bring me to nothing. Anger is a detectant to what's wrong. All right, and that's what the prophet is saying. I want to stay away from that. I want to recognize angry moments and then detect what I need to detect so I can start moving in the right direction. You should never be overtaken by anger. Don't ever let the emotion of anger move you in the wrong direction. Okay? You're only angry because something's unresolved. You're not enlightened correctly. Genesis chapter 50, verse 20 says this. It says, this is what Joseph says to his brothers. All this is going to work out. It's going to work out for our good. Now, the only way that that could happen is that Joseph had to be willing to be compliant to what God said. Psalms 105, verse 19. It says that the word came to test Joseph. Okay? I mean, from the time that he ran into opposition with his brothers about the whole haystacks and, you know, the coat and just all the stuff that transpired, you know, their bitterness and their anger. You got to remember that Joseph is the 11th born among 12. 11 is a biblical number that means you're called to expose disorder. And he was now set in motion to bring clarity to the disorder of his own family, as well as to expose the disorder of Egypt. And God gave him a plan to save them all. I'm talking about the people that wanted to kill him. He had to conduct his affairs correctly to get the purpose of his life accomplished. 7 years of plenty, 7 years of leanness. 14 is the number of salvation. Come on, amen? We okay?
Yes.
All right. So he had to understand, okay, I don't like what I'm going through. I don't like the process. But everybody wants prophecy and everybody wants promise, but nobody wants process. But it's process that gets out of us what we need to get out of us and gets alive in us what we need to get alive in so that we can conduct ourselves correctly. Right? I'll guarantee you the days to come are going to require some real wisdom. Okay? And an AR-15 with armor-piercing bullets. These bikers up in Georgia, they hooked me up, man. I'm sorry. Hey, these guys all, they're NRA members, okay?
I smell lawsuits.
All right, how do you spell lawsuits? So you got to remember, I mean, when he's you know, of course, being thrown in a pit, deceived the father, beast got him, sold into Egypt, framed in Potiphar's house, framed in, you know, he's in prison. He's going through all this stuff, and he's being tested. The church is being tested right now. What are we going to choose to do? Are we going to hear him? What are we going to choose to do? Are we going to cling to principles that do not change, that cannot fail? The world is going to rotate on its axis. The sun's going to come up in the east, set in the west. Seasons are going to come and go, but I am not susceptible to being compliant to a structure of failure. I've been redeemed from that, and I can live the truth of God's word.
Yes.
This hour is calling us to really be committed.
Yes.
It's true. So, that's not scary preaching. The computer chip is already under the right skin of most factory workers in Wisconsin now anyways. No, it's true. Yeah, Google it. Okay? When was the last time you thought that you were going to see that you were living in the lifetime of Revelation 6 and Revelation 13? See, everybody thinks that the book of Revelation is futuristic. It's not. It's the future ministry of Jesus operating in the church. Oh, come on, y'all. Okay? When was the last time we were threatened with, you know, grocery rationing? You know, you can only buy 2 packs of meat per family. All the stuff that we went through, okay? And all that was a litmus test. No, it's true. I mean, the government wanted to find out how our society was going to respond to it. This is why the church got to hold our course.
Yes.
I will tell you this. People are going to flock to us. Probably out of fear. And they don't need to come in here and hear some kind of fluffy, socialistic, soothing message. They need to hear the truth of God's stability. Okay? All right? So it'll all work out for our good. But we're going to be tested. Okay? And we were born to live in such a time as this. I felt like Mordecai trying to encourage Esther. Right on, man. The whole reason why, a lot of people don't understand in church, and I don't feel like I'm a part, I don't feel like I'm a part. It's because you're out of season. You're a round peg trying to fit in a square hole. But you're about ready to fit. Your time is on you. Let everybody that's grossly misunderstood you, do you know how many times I've misunderstood myself? Let people grossly misunderstand you. Hold the course. Hold the course. There's a lot of stuff that God has showed me that I should never talk about because most people don't believe it anyways. Okay? All I know is I'm going to be faithful to the end.
Yes.
Amen? Number 3, the voice of the Lord should create boldness in your spirit, man.
Yes.
Yes. Okay? Understand this. Jeremiah chapter 10, verse 16. Y'all, I've been in Jeremiah a lot, okay? I mean, just this weeping prophet over a backslidden nation. And we have to remember that the disciples went into the upper room disciples. But you know how they came out? They came out apostles. Would you like to know why? John 16, 13 says that the Holy Ghost is apostolic and prophetic. Prophets will guide, apostles will govern. Okay? How do you know that? He will not speak of himself. He will lead you and guide you into all truth. He's apostolic. He's prophetic. And they fell out of the upper room with boldness. In fact, when they were persecuted, they reconvened in the very place where the coals, the embers, were lit on the day of Pentecost. and they were rebaptized in a fresh baptism, and then they got wilder. Come on, amen. I'm feeding the wild side in you.
Come on, that's good.
I got a friend, he said, I always knew that crazy was in you. Amen. Right? We got to remember the only thing that the Holy Ghost is up to is to cause the cause of Christ to be accomplished.
Yes.
All right? Mature us into a person that wants to bear fruit, and then from that fruit bearing lead people to the resolve that we've come into, a born-again experience. Number four, the voice of the Lord should activate our voice. I quoted Jeremiah 20, verse 9. I don't want to prophesy anymore in your name, God, if this is where it's going to land me. Okay? But he said, but nevertheless, I feel like fire shot up in my bones. I can't suppress this. He says, I was weary and holding it back. That's what the prophet said. So there are going to be times going forward, because we hear God. Many times when we hear God, we get excited. And we end up telling the wrong people. Right? So we have to... So... I'm glad I'm preaching to you. Okay? But she's getting her groove on. Amen. But here's the thing. We're going to have to learn how to be wise with what we hear. Okay? Because most of the time, I can tell you as a prophetic office, most of the time the body of Christ is not ready for what you want to say. You want to say it because you want to try and protect people and get people moving in the right direction. But you got to be careful about how you say it, when you say it. Okay? So a lot of times God will say something to you, and he will not call you to say anything about it. He'll call you to pray. Intercessors are called to pray in the nature needed for the next season. I'm going to say it again. Intercessors are called... Oh, shalom. I love coming here. I just get Holy Ghost rushes all up in my bones when I come here. Woo! I feel like running through a wall, leaping over a troop. I know that's backwards, but I feel that way sometimes. Amen? Anybody just, you know what I mean? What was I saying? Intercessors. Yeah, I'm just getting caught up in the moment. If I fall over and roll around on the floor and get drunk, just leave me alone, okay? You drive, right? Okay. Amen. I know he will. He's got my six. I'm telling you, that's a brother right there. Amen. All right. So anyways, intercessors are called to pray in the nature needed for the next season. Okay? And we have to be careful about releasing things prematurely. I know what it's like to hang on to things for a year before I could say anything. And sometimes, when you get too comfortable, like when I come here, I get real comfortable and I just want to just say everything to you. You know, I have to be really careful. Amen? So there are times where God will want you to say something, times where God will tell you some things, and he'll want you to pray about it and never say anything about it. Okay? I mean, we're called to do one thing, and that's to make sure that whatever we do, we honor the Lord. Right? Okay? Everything needs to be pushing our eyes towards him. Right? This is why I've refused to build a kingdom. I want to have a ministry, but I want to have a ministry that keeps everybody's eyes on him. Okay? There are too many ministers that are out there that are self-promoting. Okay? I'm going to promote one thing. I'm going to promote the throne. Okay? Number five, the voice of the Lord. This is the last thing I have for you. It might take just a little bit of time. I mean, not getting past, 2 o'clock or anything like that. The voice of the Lord should call you into his service. Acts chapter 9, verse 17. Ananias is praying. So what does it mean? It means that it's just not enough to pray. When you pray, you should be given a commission. Go to the street called Straight. There's a guy that's blind waiting on you. I'll never forget it. I'm in Wichita, Kansas, and I had a dream 3 weeks prior to even getting there that I would run into somebody and I would have a word for that person sitting next to me at a table. Well, my spiritual son went on to do some fathering, and I got spiritual grandkids, and they're in various places, and there's about 15 of us having dinner together in Wichita, Kansas. And one of the young men that is part of his group was running late, and the only chair that was available at the table was right next to me. And when he showed up and sat down and he introduced himself to me, that dream came back in vivid color. And I said, before I tell you my name, let me tell you what God thinks. Bam! Just hit him like a runaway truck. That's how we got introduced to each other. Amen? Okay? So, when we hear God, we should be activated. We should be willing to go wherever God wants us to go. Not carrying the family Bible and preaching everybody you run into a corner. I carry a little simple tract. On the front of it, I'll leave some with you. You can order them. Let it be your current culture, your new culture. People ask me all the time, what's new? I'll tell you what's new. When God's people start acting right, it'll be new. Okay? I know it's a little sarcastic. I realize that. May everybody just be easy, okay? Amen. We haven't received an offering for me yet, have we? So I got to be careful, okay, right? Don't want to say anything. Anyways, but, you know, we should just be ready to listen to the unctions, okay?
Yeah.
You don't have to, you know, you don't have to be spooky to be spiritual.
That's right.
Okay? You hear his voice, you know it, and you're moved by it. It activates you. Now you live in a position of readiness, because you never know when your body's going to catch up with timing. And when that opportunity presents itself, you get queued up. You go, I believe every restaurant I come into. I believe all those people are there because God knew I was coming. What's she saying?
That's your ego talking.
That's my ego talking. Oh, God. How do you answer that?
Point 0.6.
Oh, yeah, 0.5.
Just saying.
Come on, Granny. Granny Sue. Easy girl. But anyways, maybe it is. I don't know. But I look at it through the perspective of not being egotistical, but I look at it through the perspective of who does God want me to minister to?
Yes.
Because you never know. We ran into a little girl last night. Pastor gave her a business card. And she's a single mom, three kids, needing and wanting a church. Why not family life?
Right, sure.
You know, just be sensitive, be ready, right? So, a couple of thoughts, and I will get a little political. What time do you want? I don't want to. Let me just a few minutes, okay? Let me encourage you. Mark Twain. Anybody ever heard of Mark Twain? Mark Twain said this, the two greatest days of your life are going to be the day that you were born and the day that you know why. Okay? I know why I was born. Now that I'm born again. Okay? So Acts chapter 13, verse in the early verses of that chapter, the prophets begin to say, separate Barnabas and Saul for the work that I've called them to. And I am convinced that what God wants in this year, this campaign of this year, is boots on the ground. We can't just be a people of prayer. We have to be a people of assignments. Boots on the ground. Ready. Ready.
Yes.
Ready to minister. Amen? You see, what bothers me the most is during this election, I've been watching the world mobilize for quite some time. Hollywood came to Atlanta, Georgia. What, 5 years ago? And a state that was red turned blue. People are moving into states with their liberal ideas. Ran into a woman just the other night at a restaurant, and she said, we just moved here from New York, and I stopped her. And I said, are you a Democrat or a Republican? I said, because I'm not going to let you or anybody else bring your liberal ways into my state. You might say, that's harsh. Oh, let me tell you something. I have not even begun. I'm a U.S. Marine.
Yes.
I took an oath.
Yes.
Okay? I took an oath to protect this country. And I'm committed to that. I'm a patriot. Yes. It's just the way it is. I love this country.
Yes.
Okay? And I hate what people are doing to it. I truly do. So if me being bold is offensive, then understand why. Understand my roots. Okay? All right. Now, of course, I want that person saved. She assured me that she was a Republican, and not that Republicans are perfect. I found out in the last couple of days they ain't so hot. You know what I'm saying? But anyways, what I'm saying is I don't know really what I'm saying. I should probably just move away from what I'm saying. But I just think that we should be. The world is mobilizing, is what I'm saying. Hollywood came to Atlanta. I've been watching California, people bleeding out of California into Nevada and Arizona and Texas. And are you aware that Texas has got procedures moving forward to be separated from the union? They never wanted to be part of the union anyways. Okay? There's a lot going on that requires the presence of the church. Okay? Amen. Even here in Port St. Joe, quiet, sleepy, beautiful, wonderful town. People need Jesus here. Okay? And I will tell you, you need to start thinking in this dynamic because they're coming. The world is coming. Okay? Oh, God. Help me, Jesus. So I think we need to activate. And here the church, I'm watching the world mobilize, but I'm not watching the church mobilize. It's almost like you tell people that they should be winning souls, and it's almost like, you know, now, because of the seeker-friendly movement, now everybody's saying, well, I just don't think that I'm called to do that. Well, who told you that? The Bible didn't tell you that. 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 18 says that God has given to us the ministry of reconciliation. And he's not talking about his apostolic ministry. He's talking about the body of Christ. You know how people think like this? Exodus chapter 12, I think it's right around verse 30. It says that when Israel came out of Egypt, they came up mingled with other influences. Hosea chapter 7, verse 8 and verse 16. The scripture says this, Ephraim, you've become a half-turned cake because you've been mingled with wrong influence. That's where we get the terminology, you know, you're half-baked. Half-turned, lukewarm. And then he says in verse 16, he says, because of this mingled influence, you have become a treacherous bow. The Hebrew word for the word treacherous actually means warped by deception. Anybody into archery at all? Anybody? Archery? Okay, we're not a compound bow, but you know, whatever it is, I'm not. But if it has a warp in it, and you think the arrow is lined up on the target, and you release it, what's it going to do? It's going to stray. And this is what's happened in the church. We've come under this mentality of mingled influence. It says, well, you're not called to win souls. I mean, that's not your calling. Yeah. No, it is our calling. Yes. Individually. Yes. It is our lifestyle. Yes. Listen, if you want to map out city blocks and all that, do it in corporate, whatever, okay? Well, you know what I found most effective? Individual. Individually, okay? Because to be honest with you, the corporate church is not, I'm going to preach this on Wednesday. Everything about the corporate church, everything flows out of it. Only two times in the New Testament something flowed into it. Acts 2, Acts 4. Everything outside of that flowed out of the church. Because if all you have is something flowing into something, all you have is a dead sea. And when you have unactivated Christian people that do not have a passion for what Jesus came to do, what the Father sent Him to do, I'm concerned. You might say, well, I'm a person of prayer, I'm a person of the Word. Then you are an activated soul winner. You live to lead people to Jesus. You can't. It's an oxymoron. Anything outside of that's an oxymoron. And let me just say this to you. You don't have to have a Bible college degree to get it done. All you have to do is have one testimony. One testimony of God's goodness. One. Amen? Okay, let me conclude. I'm going to jump over a lot of this. But this is the beauty of it. Paul said this in 2 Timothy 3:15. The Scripture will make you wise unto salvation. Proverbs 11 and 30. A wise man wins souls. So listen to the wisdom of this. Not only are you offering them resolve to the problems that sin promotes, but you know what you're doing for yourself? You're keeping your heart free from unnecessary clutter. How can you tell me that you're moving with the spirit of reconciliation and still be harboring unforgiveness? So to win souls is wise. To be filled with the compassion of God to reach people, you know what it does? It puts an end to anger and bitterness. When you're constantly around the reconciling nature of God, and that is your pulse, it keeps your heart free, your garments unspotted or wrinkled, blemished. It's wisdom to win souls. Wisdom to win souls. Now, you might have to acknowledge, okay, I want to punch that person in the face. I feel that way most days. Okay? Couple of thoughts. The day of dichotomy is here. Not only in society, but also in the church. We need to have God's plan. Hear Him and have His plan. Be committed to it. Isaiah 29, verses 10 and 11, or actually I think it's 11 and 12. It says that there will come a day where the prophets will see, read, and know. And then on purpose, reject. Okay? Ezekiel 44 speaks of two different priests. The Zadok priesthood and the priest that ministers to the souls of men. There will come a day where that door will get closed between the two. The Zadok priesthood that doesn't compromise in the ways of God, God will be their inheritance. And that what men can provide to these other priests will be their inheritance. Okay, but the door's closing. I'm preaching in the fall of this last year, and I, in the middle of my sermon, what I saw was this huge celestial hand closing the door on Noah's Ark. And I said, God, I said, what is this? And the Lord said, son, I'm closing the door between two groups of people. Judgment's coming. And I'm telling you, we can begin to dissect Genesis chapter 6, chapter 7, okay? We can get into Ezekiel chapter 3, and I'll just paraphrase, okay? But the bottom line is this. The man spent 120 years of his 950-year life preparing for something that he knew nothing about. Rain. And I think that we are in a state of prep, being prepped. Okay? I think that what God is inviting us into has always been the ark or the refuge that keeps us immune from the judgments that backslidden nature brings on society. The work of the ministry. I don't know if I can do that. Sometimes it's Matthew 10:20. It's your spirit of your father speaking through you. You're not speaking within yourself. I think that the work of the ministry is the very thing that keeps the church immune from what the sinful nature of man brings on society. And the door's closing. Oh, you don't need to win. Listen, 51% of pulpits in America have never led one soul to Jesus outside their church. This is the leadership. Statistically true. I think that what God's trying to say is, I will protect you if you'll just do what you're supposed to do. I think any church should never have two problems, attendance and money. No, for real. People should want to get here early to get a seat. And they know if they don't get here early, they won't get a seat. What a problem to have, man. That's my kind of problems. Amen. And I will tell you, there's land beyond where you're at, and there's a building beyond and what other than what you're sitting in. Nobody else will go claim it. He'll claim it. He wants this city to experience revival. I want Port St. Joe to experience revival. Okay? So let's understand this. You know, when the hour is calling us to move into more of the kingdom, getting grounded in the right place, in the right things, can be a challenge, right? Ezra 9 and 8, God spares a remnant that they might experience revival in the midst of bondage. He puts grace on them to do it. Genesis 6, 8, God graced Noah to do what he did, right? There came a day in chapter 7 where everything that had the breath of God in it was summoned one day. Creation was summoned into this refuge. Hello? You know what God calls the Holy Ghost? He calls it a wind from his treasury. Kind of gives you a whole different perspective on Acts chapter 2, does it not? When that wind hits you, I mean, you know, Ecclesiastes says that the whole reason why we are not doomed to repeat what everybody else is repeating because of an unrenewed nature in Christ is because grasping for the wind is like thinking I can change anything and everything on my own. But when the wind grabs you, now all of a sudden you're no longer susceptible to what everybody else is going through because they just don't know how to step out of it yet. Okay? Nine times in Ecclesiastes, it's expressed thinking that everything can change outside of God is like grasping for the wind. And the Lord said, that's not the truth when I grab you. When I grab you, now you're no longer susceptible to everything that once was, will now be, and everything else that's doomed in chapter 1. Nine gifts of the Spirit, nine fruit of the Spirit, nine times in the book of Ecclesiastes. I'm not beating the air aimlessly. This air's grabbed me, man. I mean, I've climbed to the top of Mount Calvary and I'm breathing the fresh air of freedom. Come on, y'all. It's time. Man, we ought to just cry out, Holy Ghost, blow through here and mess up everybody's hair. You can tell when you've been to church, when women fall out of church and they look like they've been at a Kiss concert. You know? Hair all messed up, mascara all over their face. Amen. Oh, God, you know, I just got to stop. I'm so sorry. I just got to stop because I don't know how to quit. Ezekiel chapter 14, verse 14, it says that Noah, Job, and Daniel were spared from judgment because of their righteousness. We know Daniel's stand. We know Noah's stand. But here's what we have to understand about Job. Genesis 46, 13. 1 Chronicles 12:32, Job was the third son of Issachar. The sons of Issachar could discern the times and have wisdom to know what to do. The man refused to compromise in his integrity. It was his righteousness that sustained him from judgment. Okay? Hebrews 11 and 7, by faith Noah being divinely warned of things yet not seen. Move with godly fear. I'm telling you, people are going to come here because they're afraid. Now they need to come into the standard of what's going to protect them, of what they're afraid of. Okay? Move with godly fear, prepared an ark for the saving of the household by which he condemned the world and became heir of righteousness, which is according to faith. Ezekiel 3:15. Where are those that will sit where those that sit? And where are those that will walk where people walk? Okay? Amen. How can you really know what people are going through unless you're there? You ever heard the saying, walk a mile in somebody else's shoes and you'll know what's going on? Right? Yeah. People tell me all the time, well, Brother Tim, you know, we're in the world, but we're not of it. Well, I respond to them by saying this. Yes, no longer part of the lifestyle of the world, but not removed from the responsibility towards the world. Ezekiel 3 goes on to say in verses 18 through 21, we deliver our souls from the responsibility of being accountable when we warn both the wicked and the righteous. You know where the next move of God is going to come from? It's going to come from you. From you. Matthew 15. They're in the wilderness. They've been there for 3 days. And a miracle healing crusade. Jesus teaching his disciples what it's going to take to represent him. But their greatest lesson hadn't come yet. He says to them on the third day, I've ministered to 4,000 people, not including their wives and their kids. And now I want to feed them. And what did the disciples do? The disciples said, hey, whoa, time out. Don't you realize where we are? We're in the wilderness. You know what Jesus said? What do you got? What do you have? We got 2 fish and 7 loaves. Jesus said, just give me what you have. You're under the influence of the wilderness. I will take what you have and I will bring it under the influence that I live under. You know what you have? You have 2 fish and 7 loaves. Somebody do the math. Not a trick question. Somebody do the math. 2 plus 7, 9 gifts of the Spirit, 9 fruit of the Spirit. What you have is the next move of God, but from the influence that He wants you under in the moment. It's always been like that. This is why we can stay away from trending, you know, trendy stuff. Oh, if you just had this bottle of oil, it's only going to cost you $50. Or this miracle soap. Come on. Really? Where are the people that know Him? Because they know how to hear Him. They're a commodity. They're a commodity. Let's stand. I'm just going to stop. I just got to stop. I hope I was as political as some wanted me to be. But I, like I said, I'm just not interested in stuff. I'm interested in the kingdom. I'm interested in what God wants. Anybody here need to be saved? Are you going to ask me to bow my head and close my eyes? No. You need to be saved. You know in your heart you're not right with God. You want to give your heart to Jesus. Maybe a recommitted prayer. I don't know. That's you. Wave at me. Wave at me. I'm not ashamed. Ooh, I feel the witness on this. Feel the witness. There we go. There we go. Let's pray, man. Let me tell you something, bro. It's the greatest thing that's ever going to happen. It's so cool. Lift your hands, son. Come here. Actually, come here. Come here. Come here. Come here. Come here. Let me get my hands on you. Hallelujah. Ooh, I feel the love of God for you. Come here. When was the last time you had a father wrap his arms around you? Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah. God's got such a plan for you. Such a plan. Let's pray. Say this with me. Jesus, come into my heart.
Come into my heart.
Be my Lord and Savior.
Be my Lord and Savior.
Forgive me of every sin.
Forgive me of every sin.
And I receive that forgiveness.
And I receive that forgiveness.
From this day forward.
From this day forward.
Help me to love you.
Help me to love you.
The way you love me.
The way you love me.
Thank you, Lord.
Thank you, Lord.
For saving me today.
For saving me today.
Amen. 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 How cool is this, bro? I'll tell you, man, the day I met Jesus, Elohim walked up and shook my hand. Freaked me out. And I left church bilingual. Freaked me out. I ain't lying. You can't hang around here. You'll get it. Okay? All right? I'm going to pray over you now. Father, I pray for this young man. He is now your son. He's been pulled out of darkness, brought into light. And in the name of Jesus, every familiarity, behavioral, spiritual, whatever it might be, it's broken. Whom the Son sets free is free indeed. And we thank you for that. You know what that means, son? It means that you are now free to be who you are. Not who other people around you are, or maybe a product of where you came from, but you're now free to be who you are in Christ. You're a game changer, bro. Amen. Ooh, something about you. I just keep feeling the anointing. You're a game changer, okay? Understand that. Now don't let anything of darkness defile you. Go on and be a child of light. Make a difference. I love this guy, man. There's something about him. I tell you, I'm just so attracted to him. I'm a married man. I mean, I'm
God, just pray for you too. Father,
hallelujah.
He drew me to his feet. And purpose that you have for him.
And his walk.
I just confirm this
yes, in Jesus' name.
And the grace that you've already designed him for from his birth in this earth.
Lord. Yes, God.
And for the divine purpose these feet have.
Oh, man.
Where they're supposed to be, the divine connections, sharing.
Thank you, Father.
His encounter with you, Father, with other people, and what that's going to produce.
Thank you,
Jesus. And we thank you for that.
Thank you, Father.
In Jesus' name.
So amen. Amen. I tell you what, you go on to serve the Lord, you fall in love with him with all your heart, you'll never be disappointed. You might get disappointed with people, okay? But, you know, people are imperfect.
That's right.
But you'll never get disappointed in God. That's greatest right. thing that's ever happened to me. I wasn't churched. I was a straight-up thug, okay? God saved. And I don't want to kill people anymore. That's a plus.
Yeah.
Amen? Go in peace, man. And when I get a chance to see you, let's just go get in trouble together, okay? All right.
I just want to thank you. Congratulations.
All righty. All righty. Praise the Lord. Amen. Father, I pray for this wonderful church. Just hands lifted towards the Lord. I pray that that is the first salvation of many. God, give this place a harvest. A harvest. I know it's there. I know it's there. But here's what I pray over you in the name of Jesus, that you would have a spirit of boldness. The church was persecuted in Acts 4. God shook the place and rebaptized them, and they fell out of there with boldness, ready to change the world. Father, I pray over these precious people. They are key players. I know it. They're pillars of truth, strong enough to make a difference. Now let them be bold in your cause in Jesus' mighty name. Amen?
Amen,
you wild man, you. Hallelujah. Man of God, thank you for allowing me to be in your pulpit.